The Cedar Mill Community Library partnered with Sunset High School to record a series of oral history interviews with recent immigrants to explore what it means to be an immigrant in Oregon. This interview with Dolores Bacar took place in May 2011. Enjoy.
Hello, I am Matt Highfield, teacher at Sunset High School.
Okay, my name is Dolores Bacar.
Where did you or your family come from, and what year did you come here?
Okay, my family is from Argentina. I'm from Argentina, and I moved to the U.S. 9 years ago with two little kids and pregnant with a third one, who was born here in California. And what brought us here? Well, a little history. You're a history teacher. My husband was born here in the U.S., but from Argentinian parents. Moved back to Argentina, grew up in Argentina when he was in, let's say, a teenager. His parents moved back to the U.S. He stayed behind. He moved to the U.S. when he was 18. From here, he went to South Africa. He lived in South Africa 10 years. And when he was turning 30, he decided that it was enough to going around the world, so he was going to settle down in his, let's say, his country. Even he lived very shortly in Argentina, but his ancestors and everybody was from Argentina. So he went back over there, and we met in Argentina. He started a company with a cousin, a real estate developing company. But Argentina's politics and economy is very precarious. And 2001, they experienced like a meltdown economy. The company was a very successful collapse. It went to bankrupt, and the government took everybody's savings, froze all the saving accounts and bank accounts, and we lost everything. Company, savings, career, two houses, everything. He was looking for a job for a while, things didn't work, so he decided to put his American passport in a good use, and we decided to move here to the U.S. But that time, I already had quitted my job, that I was a professor in college. I used to teach philosophy and ethics, but at the time I wasn't working. Like 1 year before, prior to that, I quit. So when I came to the U.S., I was raising small kids, raising a family, and trying to settle down and trying to, settle down a family in a completely different country, a new culture. Everything was new for me. For my husband, wasn't. But I didn't speak the language at that time, so it was a big challenge.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for many Americans, including myself, to imagine one day waking up and the government saying, your accounts are frozen, your job's gone.
I think no one can, here in this country that is, I think, the epitome of stability, can imagine that one day the government decided that you cannot take your own money out of the bank.
Yeah.
You can only extract $200 a week from your account.
Uh-huh.
And period. And it was incredible.
That is incredible.
Yep.
Wow. You said your husband had a lot of experience here. What were your biggest challenges coming here? I mean, your English is fluent now. Was it fluent when you moved here?
No, when I moved here, I studied English in school, maybe the same way that they were offering here Spanish as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
So you know a little bit, but not enough to going around function in a country where they're speaking. And I wasn't a good student, so I need to confess I wasn't. No, in English. Other classes I was good, but not in English because it wasn't a priority for me at that time.
Sure.
So when I came to the U.S., I, at the beginning, I started avoiding making eye contact with people on the store, on the park, when I took my kids to the park, at the library, because I knew that if somebody, because they were nice, were trying to start a conversation with me, I wasn't going to be able to respond. And it was frightening, honestly. And I think language was the most difficult thing. And of course, the difficulty of having little kids, that is always challenging. But in a place that you know no one, you don't have no connections, no family, you don't have like a contention net to support that, to support you. So it's just you and your husband. And of course, a lot of, we were very tight, financially speaking. So I think that was the worst part. The language I would put in second place.
What do you think are the most obvious differences, for example, between Argentinians and Americans? Our behaviors or attitudes or...
Culturally speaking. Okay. I will say first that because in this country there is... it is a country that they already... They managed to have a state of law very solid. Everything is not predictable in the wrong way. That is all fossilized. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the rules are clear. So that makes a whole society that is moving, is they know what to do, what to expect from others. And that gives you a lot of freedom to explore other things of your own personality instead of being defensive all the time, because you never know what's going to happen and you need to be all alert because all the time. So the fact that you can relax... And that shows perfectly well, for example, in the way that people drive. The traffic is, of course, you can always have people that is very, I don't know, reckless. But most of the people, they put the turning light when they're going to turn. And you can anticipate what the people are going to do. And you know how they're going to behave because the rules are clear. And not only people are following the rules. If they don't follow the rules, the police is there to improve that. When you grow up in a society where for many years the government is the first element of the equation to break the law, to not fulfill, I don't know, to do, follow their own obligations, and they don't follow the law, and they don't follow the rules, and they don't follow anything, and they are changing all the rules of the time. They make a contract and they don't stay to the contract. So that creates in a whole society the idea or the way of living that it doesn't matter what you do, what you're saying, whatever you want to do it is basically allowed. It's not allowed, but you can find a way to go through. So that, first of all, I think creates a lot of anxiety in the people. You cannot make plans for the future because you never know. Is there anybody, the person who you're making plans with, are going to stick to the word?
Sure.
And if they don't, there's nobody that you can go to protect your own. So that is creating, in my opinion, a very weak social connections, social relationships, and a very weak society. Here, you can find great people and not so good people. I never find any of those, but the clear rules makes things like a more relaxed society, and the people can explore because they have some things that they are basic things that they are untouchable. You can be yourself, expand your own creativity and your own ideals in other ways. You don't need to put your all your energies in surviving. And I'm not talking about surviving in the jungle. I'm talking surviving, I don't know, finding a job, having a career and all that type of things. So I think the predictability or the stability of society is one of the biggest differences and how that affects the people's psyches. And yes, I will say that. Because that makes a big, big impact. And another thing, another difference that for me was very welcome is I found here in this country as like a one of cultural characteristics, the fact that when there is a problem, everybody feels that that problem belongs to them and they're ready to take action. That makes little things. When I moved to this country and some people hear about our stories, they were willing to help us in a way that they were way beyond their own. It wasn't their responsibility. It wasn't even a charity movement or a church or through anybody. Just I remember one time I received a box from the daughter of a principal of a school of a person that I talked to them about us, that I was going to have a baby. And I was living in Southern California at that moment, in San Diego. That lady lived in somewhere in Arizona. She went to Gap store, bought baby clothes, put them in a box, went to the post office, sent it to me, and there was completely strange person, never heard from me, never saw that person. I don't even know her name. But she took all that effort in order to say, okay, there is a lady that is almost having a baby that needs things because she moved with nothing, and they feel that it's their own responsibility to do something about it. And that is something that one of the biggest things that the people of this country has, and I don't know how aware out of that, because if there is a flood, everybody's trying to help. If there is a, I don't know, in the park it's all littered, okay, the neighbors gather together to clean up that. And nobody says, it's not my problem. If it's their problem, it's mine. And it's mine, I'm going to do something about it. And I think that is great. Makes everybody's life much, much easier, and it creates bondings and a stronger society, and they're working together, and it's what defines, in my opinion, a society.
Wow. Oh, kind of makes me happy that I live here.
Yeah, you should. Me too, because I'm living here now.
Yes. What do you miss? Is there anything you really miss about Argentina?
My family.
Your family?
I have a very large family, my husband also, and especially around holidays, I miss the fact that I'm not seeing them and not sharing the daily life little things. My nephews and nieces growing up, and they're going to become adults, and I'm not going that often to follow that. Of course, technology is making a big difference. My husband used to tell that when he was living in South Africa, email was a rarity, so he was sending letters, regular letters. Now we're talking on Skype every day with his parents if we want to. So that makes a big difference. If my kid is having a new pair of glasses, he's showing to his grandparents on their webcam, so that's changing, I don't know.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, changes a lot of things. But what I miss the most, I will say, is family. I don't miss the country at all. I'm very happy.
What part of the country were you in?
I'm from Buenos Aires.
Okay.
Capital city, huge city. Honestly, because I lived there my whole life in a very huge and very cosmopolitan city. When I moved to Southern California, one of the things that I missed most was urban life. Because in California, everything is so spread out. So you need to drive 45 minutes to go to the grocery store. Wherever you go, you need to drive a long distance. When I moved to Portland, I recovered that. Because I can ride the MAX, go to downtown, go to the museum, enjoy an exhibition at the art museum, whatever. Or maybe stroll around, have a coffee with a friend in a coffee store, and go. So I recovered that, and now there's nothing else that I'm missing.
Tell me about the educational. I mean, you mentioned that your daughter was at ACMA. And you not only grew up in the educational system, but it sounds like you taught in the educational system. What are your perceptions? Is there some things that schools in Argentina do better, or there are some things that American schools do better, or did you get a good education in Argentina?
I got it. Good education. I went to my daughter was having fun yesterday when I was telling stories, because I went to a private school for girls. my whole, from elementary to the end of high school. Mm-hmm. So it was a small school. And after that, I went to university. Mm-hmm. I dedicated 10 years to study full-time philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I say that I study a little bit. So, but I think I cannot compare what my kids are receiving with what I receive, because I think we're comparing apples with bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Because my kids are going to a public education. I'm receiving public education here. If we need to compare the system that my kids are in now, we should compare with the public education in Argentina. But over there, the public education here works, is great. I think academic speaking could be better, of course, but I think it's very good. My kids are receiving a great education. We picked the district because we did some research before, mm-hmm. and we see, according to those, criticized mm-hmm. tests and all of that, but they're giving information to the parents who are, I wouldn't say the good teachers, but where the kids are showing mm-hmm. a better performance than ours. So we select this district and the area to live according to the school's ratings and other factors that they're, public information that there is available for parents. So I don't think I can compare what I received, that it was a private, small, religious-oriented education, with the education that my kids are receiving. Academic speaking, I would say, is kind of equivalent, maybe better, mm-hmm. what my kids are receiving here. The option schools that are available in this school district doesn't exist at all over there, not even private schools, mm-hmm. as far as I know. Maybe there are some, but I'm not aware of that. There are great, amazing, good private schools over there. But if I should make like a kind of judgment about this mm-hmm. system, I think it's a good system, that it works very well. I think the performance of the students, or I would say the achievements of the students, is based on the good teachers, that they are doing their best, and the support that the kids are receiving at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what I think, makes the big difference. One of the things that I think is very good about the public system is the fact that their kids, it's more the social aspect, not only the academics that is good, but the fact that they are with all kind of people from different places, education kind of level, to say something, or different backgrounds, and I think that is very enriching for the kids.
Great.
On all levels. Of course, we can improve many different aspects, but I think the more freedom the teachers have to be more creative. I think teachers in general are very passionate about what they do. I think the more freedom they have to keep adding more from themselves and being less restrained,
mm-hmm.
the better the kids are, I think, the better it's going to be for the kids.
Great. Well, maybe we'll end the interview here. But thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you.